So let's go back to where we were. We covered one verse, and we really rubbed in one and two verses on Saturday. And I can truly understand why somebody say, why would you go back and cover some of that again? Well, first of all, if you get tired of the Lord Jesus Christ being revealed to you, maybe you're tired of having eternal life being promised to you. Because when you think, if a person think that they can exhaust the Lord Jesus Christ in one message, you don't know him. And you don't know the benefit of him. But we as the people of God must begin to understand that as much as we learn him and know who he is, that's the safety net that we have as people. Listen to what the Apostle John said. The same one that gave us or that wrote the revelation of Jesus Christ. It's hard to say that the Apostle John gave us the book of the Revelation when internally it said the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. But it said he sent and signified it by an angel, put it in signals, and gave it to his servant John. So as far as we're concerned, we got it from John. Listen to what this same man says about the revelation of Jesus Christ and who he is. John chapter 17, verse 3. And this, I'm not trying to give you an English lesson to prove something to you, but when you learn these terms, sometimes they bring light to what's happening. When you use the word this is going to give me a demonstrative point to him. This right here is life eternal. Somebody said, why you make such a big deal about it? Well, anytime you take a pronoun and you say this or that or whatever, you're eliminating a lot of others, and you're pointing it to the one with specificity. Jesus is talking, John is recording it, and it says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Without me reading it, Matthew chapter 11, verse 27, Jesus says, no man know the Father except the Son. You know, just for the sake of argument, since we're really making this thing explicitly clear, I will read it. Because there are times that I can quote something and I'm going to quote it 100%, but I want this one at least 100% of what we have in this translation. Not saying that every and this or whatever will be the same in all translations, but people that do translations know that the essence of what is said here is nothing to be played with. Listen to what Jesus says. All things are delivered unto me by my Father. Now take that into consideration when he says, and this is the life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. In other words, this person that we are calling Jesus the Christ, that the book of Hebrews is getting ready to open up to us, he's special. And you sent him. And so all things are delivered unto me by my Father, and no man knoweth the Son save the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father, listen, save the Son, and to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. What's the big deal with that, Tim? If you get tired of knowing who Jesus Christ is, then you're really going to be tired of knowing who the Father is. Because you will not know the Father unless you know the Son. How does that fit with our lesson? I'm glad you asked. Hebrews 1 and 1. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, in many, many, many times, God had little portions that he gave out of his revelation of truth and of what his word was for the world. God, who in sundry times, many portions, and the Bible says, and in divers manners, he did it in many ways. Through a burning bush we talked about, through dreams, through visions, etc. We said in time past, he spake to the fathers by the prophets. God actually made things known. But it says, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. Notice, when we were in John 17, I'm trying to make us see why the writer of this book of Hebrews is giving us something that is so powerful. John 17:3 says, this is life eternal, that they may know thee, the only true God. God who in time past spake to the fathers by the prophets. And notice what it says here in verse 3, that you'll know the only true God and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. What does he say in verse 4? Jesus, the one that he sent, I have glorified thee on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Now, whatever the work is, he said, I finished it. Verse 5 says, and now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory that I had with thee before the world was. We'll talk about that glory a little bit later. I need us to see verse 6 and then we can move on. I have manifested, I have made known thy name unto the men which thou gavest me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou gavest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known that all things whatsoever thou hast given me are of thee. For I have given unto them the words which you gave me. I didn't give them my words. I really didn't give them Moses' words, although I would refer to the scripture and say that Moses testified of me. I really did tell them what Micah had said. I did tell them what was in the Psalms. But if any individual understand that the prophet spake the words that God gave them in many portions or in sundry times and in divers manners, it was never the prophet's words. They were your words. And now in these last days, you have spoken by your Son. And since I'm your Son, and since I'm saying I finished the work, whatever revelation it was for them to have of you, Father, I finished the work. I don't need a Buddha to come and give a revelation of you. Or Siddhartha. I don't need a Muhammad or a Catan to give a revelation of you. I don't need a Jim Jones. I really don't even need a Tim Merritt to give a revelation of you. I have finished the work of the revelation of who you are. Verse 8, for I have given them the words which thou hast given me, and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. Back to Matthew 11:27, when Jesus was talking to the people, he says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father. I do not usurp the authority of my Father. I do not make my own plans. I do not tell you my own words. I am giving you the revelation of my Father. And no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save or except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. When we see this, we see that when we read the scriptures and we see the different portions, we got a portion before the flood, we have a portion in the garden, we have a portion right after the flood, we have a portion when the children of Israel were in captivity, when God meets Moses in a burning bush, we have a portion of time that we call in the wilderness time, we have a portion of the time during the judges, we have a portion of time during the times when they were united in a divided kingdom, and God spake during those times, those portions. But when he did it in different ways during that time. And as we covered Saturday, in these last days, he spake to us, or has spoken unto us, and this is to the writers of the Hebrews, so when we say he's spoken unto us, we are actually saying he spoke to them, and because we use the scriptures, it's also given to us. In these last days, spoken to us by his Son. Now his Son said, I finished the work. This is the ultimate and the last revelation of God to man, his Son. Notice, did the people know that God was speaking to them at that particular time? Did the people understand that God was speaking and giving them information about himself? About himself? I could say God himself, but God's self, did he do that? Did they know it? Let's let a prophet, Zacharias, tell us what he thought. In Luke chapter 1, verse 70, we realize that Zacharias, those that are familiar with the Bible, had a visitation from the angel Gabriel, the same angel Gabriel that had talked to Daniel and allowed Daniel to understand that God was going to do something through the one that was going to be anointed, the one that would come as a son of man, and the one that would be received up into glory. And this angel came to Zacharias, and verse 67 of chapter 1, the Bible said he was filled with the Holy Spirit. So let's listen to what this man said when he is filled with the Holy Spirit. King James says Holy Ghost. Let me read it. And his father Zacharias, John's father we're talking about, was filled with the Holy Ghost and prophesied, saying, Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people, and have raised up a horn of salvation for us. Those that are familiar with the Bible imagery, we know that a horn represents power. That this is the very thing that an animal used to fight with, whether he's being aggressive or defensive. He has raised up for us a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. Here's what we're going to zero in on, verse 70. As he spake by the mouth of his holy prophets, which have been since the world began. The prophets have spoken. This priest realizes and said that these prophets that God has had since the world began. And when we see God talking and we see what God is doing, and this man says that he has raised up a horn or a power of salvation for us. And there's a reason that he did that. The Bible allowed God to speak, well, God allowed his prophets to speak different ways, and he allowed them to speak in different portions of time to reveal who he was, who his Son is, and his Son was going to be the ultimate reality of the ultimate revelation of who he is to deliver. The prophets were to deliver. They were trying to deliver them from what? Well, as we move into chapter 2, we're going to see he's talking about death. We're going to see that he's talking about the enemy. But since we haven't gotten that far, I will at least just let us see that it's a part of what's going on there. But I want you to feel something before we get there, so that you can understand the revelation of Jesus and why the revelation that God was given given so many times important. Listen to Genesis 3 and 15 when God talks to the woman and the serpent in the Garden of Eden after they had sinned, after they had the revelation that God had given them and they ignored it. The Bible says in Genesis 3 and 15, "And I," this is God, "I will put enmity," hostility, "I will put enmity between thee," talking to the serpent, the devil, "and the woman." I'm going to make the devil want to destroy you, woman. And I'm going to put enmity between you and the devil, and you'll want to destroy him. "And between thy seed and her seed." That seed is singular. "And it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." I will submit to you that since man is in the image of God, and being in the image of God is a very high and honorable position, that God is the one, when man sinned, to make Satan man's enemy. The enemy of the woman, and between her seed, singular, which will be the Christ, and his seed. But throughout the scripture, you will see others that are called the seed or the children of Satan. And we will find out that we as people will be considered to be the seed of the brood of vipers or children of the devil. Ultimately, the seed of the woman will be the Christ. And those that are in him will be in the same manner that every one of us were in Adam and Eve in that garden. Biologically, we were in them because it's a representative head. And all of us get our physicality from them. So Zechariah says he has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David. I will submit to you, whatever salvation is brought to the Jews is going to be brought to the world. Why is that? Romans chapter 1, verse 16, Paul the apostle, when he was writing to the Roman people, told them, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." He could have said the horn of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jew first and also the Greek. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." So when we look at Hebrews, recapping, the God that was in sundry time and divers manners in time past spake to the fathers by the prophet. Zechariah said that he had been doing that since the world began, and he was saying that before Jesus was born and came on the scene. But he is not the only one that said things like that. For in the book of Acts chapter 3 and 21, when they were talking, and Peter was telling the people that Christ must suffer, and he called these people sinful, And these people were ungodly. Listen to what Peter says. And if you wonder again, why is he hammering this? If I hammer this hard enough, when we look at the revelation of Jesus Christ in the book of Hebrews, we will be able to at all times be able to stand against the enemies. Let me give you an illustration. For the last week, I have been dealing with a man that does not know who Jesus the Christ is. There is a man, a Korean man, that is dead now. His name is Ahnsahng, okay? It's Ahnsahng, A-N-S-A-H-N, Hung, A-N-S-A-H-N, Hung. You can look it up on Wikipedia. He follows this man. This man is taught that he is the Christ. And hundreds of thousands of people believe him. This man has also told the people that he is the Holy Spirit. He is also having the people to believe that his wife, well, she has them to believe, because he died, that she is the new Jerusalem that comes down out of heaven. And he is another revelation of God. That God the Father, Yahweh, was God at that time. And who we call Jesus the Christ was Jesus for that time. And that he is the Christ and Jesus for the time that he was until he died maybe 40 years ago. And this man believes that. And there are many people that believe that. When an individual understands who Jesus the Christ is, they would never be able to accept that. This man that's teaching this has a reincarnation background. He was a Buddhist. And he's talking transmigration, reincarnation. There is no reincarnation. For our Bible tells us that this one that is called the Christ was in the beginning with God. John chapter 1. And that this one was the Word of God made flesh and dwelt among us. The book of the Revelation tells us that this one that is Jesus the Christ is he that was alive and was dead and is alive forevermore in no reincarnation. To the writer here in the Hebrews, I need you all to understand who Jesus the Christ is, because if you don't know who he is, you might get into emperor worship. You might go back to thinking that the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer might save you from your sin. You might be afraid of the devil. You might not understand that God has done something and worked out something for you, so much so that people that came before you have risen up to seek this Christ that they don't fully understand. So the writer is saying that in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son. We covered in Deuteronomy chapter 18, if you all remember, that God had allowed Moses to tell the people that God was going to raise a prophet like unto them. And this prophet that will be raised up unto them, that they should hear him. And if they didn't hear him, it would be required. We also mentioned in Hebrews 2:1-3, that if you knew that the word spoken by angels was steadfast in every transgression, received a just recompense of reward, he asked the question, how shall you escape if you neglect so great salvation, or neglect that horn of salvation, or the power of God to salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and confirmed by them that heard it. One of the scriptures we gave you all last week, I don't know if you wrote it down, John chapter 8, verse 28, Jesus said these words, talking about when he was going to be crucified. It said, Jesus said unto them, when you have lift up the Son of Man, then you shall know that I am. See, that he is in italics. He is actually, when he says ego and me, he is talking and using the same name that he used in the burning bush. You will know that I am and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. For free, I'm going to give you the 50th verse. I'm not going to read all of what I read Saturday, but the 50th verse of the 12th chapter. The one God sent to speak in the last days says, and I know that his commandment is everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak. When we begin to see these kind of things coming out of the mouth of the Lord Jesus, and we understand what was going on with those people, we will know that when he says, I know that his commandment is life everlasting, how is it that an individual could look for another revelation if the word that come from the last one that has spoken, the last revelation of the Father to mankind, and especially to the Hebrew that this time, what more can you want than life everlasting? So he's spoken to us by his Son, and I want us to taste this. Whom he has appointed heir of all things. Never get it twisted. The Son never tries to usurp authority over the Father. The Son never comes in a role to us that is not under the Father. They are not in competition. If you notice, it says, whom he has appointed heir of all things. If you understand that the one doing the appointing is in a different role, if you don't understand that the one that's being appointed is in a different role, that it is in a position where the Son makes himself subservient to the Father, you miss it. But we need to see what the writer of Hebrews is saying. If he spoke in time past by the prophets, and if in these last days, if in these last days, his last revelation is to his Son, he's going to let you see what his qualifications are. He's going to reveal to you who he is. One, he's a spokesman for the Father. Did you catch that? If he says that he spake by his Son, he's saying he's a spokesman. Then he says he has spoken to us by his Son, and it says he's appointed heir of all things. What would that mean? If you want to get the revelation of Jesus Christ, you don't get a full revelation of him unless you understand that he's the heir. And there's a problem with him being the heir unless you don't understand what that means. Let me see if I can help us understand. When Jesus the Christ was walking, before Jesus the Christ came to the earth, when he was with the Father in glory, he already had things. Listen to what the Bible says. Listen to what the Bible says about him. Before he came to earth. I want you to feel where I'm going. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. The Bible is talking about Jesus. This is Paul. He says, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he were rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that through his poverty, you might be rich. Let me read it again. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, he became poor. That through his poverty, you might be rich. When was he rich? I mean, if you think about it, there was no room in the inn for his family. Obviously, his family didn't have enough money that they could pay somebody to leave out and let him come in. Though he was rich, when was he rich? Let's let the same writer talk to us. Let's let Paul tell us who this Christ is. And then we'll make our point. I'm going to show you that Christ was rich when he was in heaven. And when I'm talking about rich when he was in heaven, let's not talk about gold and silver and things like that. Let's just say that at this particular time, he owned the world. Let's not even deal with, you know, the little things that we have here that we think are so much. Mm-mm. Let's look at who he was. The Bible says about this person, Jesus the Christ, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, or essence, that word form is essence, who being in the essence of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. See, if I think that I'm equal with God, I would actually be robbing God of his glory, of his distinctiveness. I would, in essence, although not actually robbing God, but my words would be trying to take away from God's glory. But when Christ did it, it was not robbery to be equal with God. Listen to what it says. But made himself of no reputation. No fame. But took upon himself the form of a slave or a servant. And was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. Listen to this. And became obedient unto death, even the death on a cross, which means the death on a tree, which is accursed. Wherefore God has highly, what? Exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. Now listen to this. He comes and becomes a slave, made in the likeness of man, no room for him in the inn, despised and rejected of man, a man acquainted with grief, hung on the cross between two malefactors, buried in a tomb that did not even belong to him. But the Bible says he was obedient unto death, even the death on the cross, which would be a curse. I believe it is Galatians 3:13 that says, cursed is every man that hangs on a tree, that quote from Deuteronomy. But the Bible says, although he was dead on the tree, which was a curse, the Bible says that God highly exalted him and has given him a name above every name. Listen to this one. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. What? To the glory of God the Father. Do you see the reversal? If you miss it, if you take upon yourself the form of a slave, who bows to a slave? Who bows to a slave? What slave name is highly exalted above every name? What slave does everything in heaven and earth and under the earth bow down to? Not one. But by his death, being a part of the revelation that God had given through the prophets in many portions and in many ways, this last revelation that he speaks, with his mouth, he tells you what's going to be, then he carries it out and himself dies, and God raises him up from the dead. And in raising him up from the dead, that is the position of exaltation. And in that exaltation. Now he has given a name that's above every name, no longer a slave. Every knee bows to him. Every tongue confesses that instead of being slave, he is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. And I would submit to you that when the Bible and this writer in Hebrews saying, he is spoken by his Son, the last revelation that he has for us, he has appointed him heir of all. He is appointed heir because he was made human. He was made in the likeness of sinful flesh, because when he was not in the flesh, he already owned. He was already God. He already ruled. But he made himself a no reputation. He humbled himself. And though he were rich, he became poor, so that he could be able to serve God Almighty. So that he could be a blessing to us and become our elder brother. So that he could fulfill that Moses had said, that the individual that would come in the last days and that would speak for God, listen, he would come from among his brethren. That's what it said. And the Bible said in the 18th verse of Deuteronomy chapter 18, so you never forget it, 18 and 18, it should be easy to remember. Moses says, I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren. Not from heaven. I'm going to do it like unto you. That's what he told Moses. And I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he speak in my name, I will require it of him. So we see he has appointed him heir of all things. But in order to be made an heir, there is a humiliation that has taken place right here. How do you know there's a humiliation that has taken place? What do you mean he's the heir of all things? Why are you making such a big deal about him being the heir of all things, or by whom also he made the world? Well, listen to what some of the prophets have said in the sundry times. In Daniel chapter 7, verse 13, it's quite amazing. Daniel, in a vision, listen to what he says in Daniel 7:13. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven. Now they're coming upward, because heaven is not downward, heaven is upward. So the vision is taking place from the vantage point of already being in heaven, so don't get it confused. I saw in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days. And they brought him near before him. Listen to this. And there was given him dominion. Notice it didn't say he already had it. This is a formal ceremony that was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all peoples, nations, languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and a kingdom which shall not be destroyed. I will submit to you, when the Bible says that this person, he is spoken by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, is there anything that can be more owned or be an heir of than to have dominion or kingdom, and all people, nations, and languages serve, and you have an everlasting kingdom that shall not pass away? Well, we just mentioned it just before in the 11th chapter of Matthew 27. Jesus says, all things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man know the Father but the Son, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and to whomsoever he will reveal him. Do you understand that even when Jesus was on earth, I have the full revelation of my Father? in Daniel 7 and 13, now I got the fullness of being the heir of these magnificent things. Listen to what it said in Matthew chapter 28 and 18, when he was raised from the dead before he ascended, before they had the ceremony. Jesus says, the Bible says, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. John 10:22. Taste it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. The Bible says, when we start learning these things, we begin to get to the place that we walk with God in such a way that we're walking in His Spirit and in His goodness. Listen to what He says in John 3 and 35. I want to read that to you. John 3 and 35, as Jesus walked the earth, and He's going to be given the last revelation of who the Father is, and the last revelation of the Father is the Son. Listen to what He says, John chapter 3, 33 and 34. He that has received His testimony has set to His seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and has given all things into His hand. Notice, the full revelation is the Son, and it's in His power to dispense it. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son, he that believeth on Him, that's sitting in the last day, has everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But what does the scripture say in the book of Romans about it? In Romans chapter 14, verse 9, this is very pretty. It says, for to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be the Lord of both the dead and the living. He has been appointed heir of all things. The writer of Ephesians says, and it's quite amazing, Ephesians 1 and 10, that in the dispensation of the fullness of time, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and in earth, in whom we have received an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him that works all things after the counsel of his will. What we miss many times when we read this, everything is in Christ. Christ is the heir, and any individual that feels or know that they're going to be an heir with God, it has to be through Christ. You don't get to get it on your own. It's His. How do you know these things? Well, first of all, if Christ were not the heir, we could not be an heir. What do you mean, Tim? I'm going to let the Bible show you how they are revealing the Lord Jesus Christ in this book of Hebrews. Romans chapter 8, verse 14 through 17. Romans 8, 14 through 17. Listen to what the Bible says. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but have received the spirit of adoption. It didn't say begetting. It did not say of generation through seed. It says adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Listen to this. This is so important. And if children, then heirs, plural. Heirs of God, plural. And joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we will be glorified together. I will submit to you that the writer of Hebrews said the Father has appointed the Son to be heir of all things. That means that when we as individuals or any individual that walks the planet that say we're going to inherit Jerusalem, or we're going to inherit that, or we're going to inherit peace, we're going to inherit love, we're going to inherit truth. Trust me, the scripture said Christ is the heir of all. And by Christ being the heir of all, any other individual that is an heir, it is by joint heir. It's very important that we see that, or else we're not going to be able to fully grasp what the writer of Hebrews has given us. He is elevating us to the position that if you never knew, if you ever thought that you were getting something from God because you were so good, you won't understand it anymore. That it's through the revelation of His Son that you get anything from me. Help me, Paul. Galatians chapter 4, verse 4. The Bible says, when the fullness of the time was come. What fullness of what time? I would say the fullness of the time that God was going to do what was necessary to make people see the fullness of His revelation, but we'll see. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. This is how we become sons of God. Verse 6. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son. Notice this. When this is written, Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. We'll see that in Hebrews chapter 1. But God sent the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Next verse. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant. Did you remember when I was showing you that what Jesus was rich and He became poor? And I showed you in order for Him to become poor, He had to do something. He made Himself of no reputation and took upon Himself the form of a slave. And when He did that and was obedient unto death, God exalted Him and gave Him another name that's above every name. Now He's Lord instead of the servant. Look at you. You're following in the same step. He cries into your heart, and that Spirit says, Abba, Father, therefore you are no longer a servant, but a son. Even if it's through adoption. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. Not through that Anasahang, not through the Buddha, not through Muhammad, not through Tim, not through Charles Taz, Russell Jehovah's Witness, not between whatever church you go to that don't love the butt-naked word of God and His truth. You're not going to be one through the law or through Moses. Moses said, the one that came, hear him. And if you don't, God will require it of you. It says, then an heir of God through Christ. Bless His everlasting name. But what does... Let's call Peter to the stand. You know, sometimes Peter talk real hard, but it's real good. Listen to what Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 1. I'm going to read the third verse. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy has begotten us again unto a lively hope. Listen to this. By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What kind of inheritance? Incorruptible. Undefiled. That fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. I thought you said, Tim, this is the last days. You have the last days when God has given His last revelation. You have the last days that we're going to talk about in Hebrews, where we see you're dealing with different type of systems, where you see that the Son not only is the heir, but the Son is the last revelation in every way. But you will also see that the revelation of Jesus Christ will show that He's not through when He takes reign. There will be a time when He judges the quick and the dead at His appearing in kingdom. But don't get it confused. It is a last day for different little revelations to be coming out because it's here. Now I want you to grasp what's being said here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to His abundant mercy, has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection by Jesus Christ from the dead. The lively hope is that He made His Son an heir. The lively hope. He did it. Tim, where you get this kind of talk from? Look like you're just making it up as you go. Psalm verse chapter 2, verse 8. You know, Psalm, to help me to understand some of these things. I want us to understand all this is packed in what we're singing. And if it becomes irritating, it don't seem like we're moving fast enough. This is written to Hebrews. These people know these scriptures. These people are unlike us. And when he's giving them this information, it is awesome for them. Listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says, I'm going to just start at verse 7 because I'm not going to go all the way. I'm in Psalms 2. Verse 7, and I'm bringing the point that he has begotten us again to a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Because an individual that just think that we get an inheritance for no reason, it doesn't work like that. There's a reason. There's a reason. There's a way. I'm going to read it one more time, then I'm going to do Psalms right after that. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again. In other words, like he said in John 1, that which is born of flesh, that which is flesh, that which is spirit is spirit. You must be born again. He has begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That being begotten to a lively hope is your inheritance. See, he begets you to an inheritance. It's corruptible, undefiled. So it's not going to be money. It's not going to be a land. It's going to be whatever and whoever he is. And so when we look and you see that this comes by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, this is part of the revelation of God. Part of the revelation of God is that I'm going to send my son to redeem. I'm going to send my son to save. That's my horn of salvation that Zacharias was talking about. But listen to Psalm when it talks before he came. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Well, I can read Romans 1 and 2 and let you know what day that is, but right now I just want to let you hear what he says. Ask of me, and I will give thee the heathen for thine inheritance. Not just Israel. Way before the kingdom split. God said, ask of me. And we truly don't know when this prayer was made. It could have been made way before the earth was. Oh. He said, but just ask. And I will give the heathen for thine inheritance and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession. And it goes on down and talks about how he'll deal with them. I just want you to see that when he said he's appointed him heir of all things, if you want to know the revelation of Jesus Christ, he's the one. I mean, this is big talk. Imagine if God told you today, ask of me, I'll give you all the nations for your inheritance to the uttermost parts of the earth. What else is left? Well, somebody said, well, what about the angels? I said, that was covered in when I read in Philippians. You should have been listening. Because the Word of God was telling this stuff. I want us to see what is going on right here when you see heir of all things. I need to read these four little verses. I'm going to kind of read it quickly. I'll stop where we need it. Romans 1 and 1 through 4. Listen to it closely. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. Notice Paul said it was about God then. The gospel that Jesus gave, the gospel that the apostles gave, it was the gospel of God, which he has promised before by his prophets in the scripture, in sundry time, in divers manners, spake to the fathers by the prophets. See, Paul on the same page, see that? Concerning his son, Paul said this is what it was about. His son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, like Moses said, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. when you read the book of Hebrews and you say, when you see, you say, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds or the aeons or the ages, you're dealing with his death, burial, resurrection, and his ascension right there. It's in it. He became the heir. He's got that power, and he was declared these things right then, and he's given it in these two little verses, and he ain't even finished. It is absolutely, unequivocally, magnificently wonderful what he is saying in here. And if we don't know him like that, we can easily think somebody else is equal. You can mention Martin Luther King Jr.'s name with him and think you've said something. Or you can mention your president name when somebody asks you who's great. You can say Barack Obama, or you can say ex-Clinton, or you can say whoever the person is. You can say John Calvin. You can mention my name, but keep my name out of your mouth if you mention it with Jesus. Or you can mention some other person that was considered great in history. But has this person been appointed by God to be heir of all things? Is this the person who made the ages? Is this the person, when we read on down, purged us from our sin? Listen, by himself. Is this the person that God said every knee would bow? Is this the person that made himself a slave and was exalted like Joseph? What do you think that in divers manners? In divers manners, he was speaking through the life of Joseph to you. A boy that was mistreated. A boy that his brethren cast out. He became a slave. And he was highly exalted that at the name of Joseph, every knee should bow. I know you don't believe that. But the Pharaoh told the people, Joseph. He didn't really call him Joseph. He gave him a name, Zaphnath-Paneah. But when he gave him that name, he said every knee was to bow when you dealt with Joseph. Joseph wasn't no joke. And the picture, divers manners, in time past, spake. And Joseph's not the only one who was elevated like that, is he, Ann? Can you hear something in the back of your mind saying, Daniel, a slave, elevated, put up real high? And when we stand that this is giving us the revelation of Jesus Christ, it is giving us the revelation of Jesus Christ, and we should be grateful that God cared enough to let us see this. It's a beautiful thing, and I love it. I'm going to just, I just feel like I ought to show it to you, because sometimes you say stuff and folks say, I don't remember that. So what I'll do is I'll just read a couple of verses. Genesis 41. You all might want to lock that down. Here is a picture of God showing what he's going to do through his son. We call it typology. And God works out all things, even these, according to the counsel of his will, to speak to us. Because we realize God is the one that makes them elevate Joseph. Therefore, if he's the one that makes them elevate Joseph to that position, and you see what God does, then when you see that God is speaking, he's letting you see his resume, how he operates. So when he does that with his son, it shouldn't be strange to you. If he can do it with the prophet, you think he's not going to be able to do that with his son? The last revelation, the book of Hebrews, said he appointed him heir. Read, Tim. This is after Pharaoh's dream. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, for as much as God has shown thee all this, notice Pharaoh understands that who's working this stuff out. There is none so discreet and as wise as thou art. Now when we talk about his son, is there any way that there's anyone else that's going to have a word after Jesus came as wise and discreet? Listen to what Pharaoh said. Think about when we get to Hebrews 3 and Christ is the son over his house. And verse 40, Pharaoh says, thou shalt be over my house. According to thy word shall my people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand. and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck. You see, Pharaoh was elevating Joseph from being a slave and giving him a name that's above every name. Somebody say, I don't see that. Okay, listen again, because you might have missed it. We might have been short busting. There's none as wise and as discreet. Bam, okay? You're over my house. Bam, you in charge. According to my word, your word, the people will be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater. Well, the Father, Jesus said the Father is greater than the Son. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, look, I have given you the land of Egypt. In other words, I've set you over all. And then Pharaoh takes off his ring, puts it on his hand, and arrayed him. And so he highly exalted him, giving him name above every name, giving him glory, giving him honor, and a gold chain on his neck. Listen to this. He doesn't have angels for him to ride, but what he does have, and made him to ride in the second chariot, which he had. Listen to this. And they cried before him, not Pharaoh, Joseph, bow the knee. And he made him ruler over the land of Egypt. You think that's all? Can you do anything else for him, Pharaoh? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I am Pharaoh. Without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. Well, what about that? Jesus says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Every man abiding me, the same brings forth much fruit, but without me, you can do nothing. Muhammad could go, and if he did anything good for anybody that I know not of, you don't lift a hand or foot and try to bring honor to the Father without me. I don't care if you're the Buddha and you see somebody suffering and you tell them to suffer forever and they're going to go over and over. It doesn't matter. I don't care if your name is Tim, Mary, John, Wesley, whatever your name is. If it's without the Son that he has appointed heir, nothing. He knew who he arrayed and he knew who was in charge. So when you talk about divers, manners, and time past spake to the fathers, I just wanted you to kind of get a clue of how these scriptures tie together. He's appointing him heir of all things. And again, it says, by whom also he made the world. We know that according to the Bible, the word of God was made flesh, and he dwelt among us. He appointed him heir of all things. I showed you all in Isaiah 9 and 6, where it is that he is the father of eternity. The Hebrew there is he is the father of everlasting, not everlasting father. It's actually father everlasting, and they changed it. And so now people think that Jesus is the father of all. No. I'm going to show you when we go through Hebrews, he's the brother of all. I've already alluded to it when Moses said he's going to be raised up of his brethren. And then when the Bible said, by whom also he made the worlds, somebody said, well, I know you say he made the aeons, but just in case, sometimes we forget that there are other scriptures that tell us that Christ is the creator. Listen to Paul. Paul says in 1 Corinthians 8 and 6, Tim, you ought to read the fourth verse. Okay, I'll do that. For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or in earth, and there be gods many and lords many, but to us there is but one God, the Father, of whom are all things, and we in him. And one Lord, notice it says, and, don't get confused, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by him. Howbeit, there is not in every man that knowledge. For some with conscience of an idol to this hour, they eat. It is as a thing offered to the idol, and their conscience being weak is defiled. They were dealing with idolatry there. So we see the revelation of Jesus Christ. I probably will not go back over 1 and 2 again. There's much more in it, but I'm going to move on. The Lord spares us. But I do want to kind of allude to it without bringing out the scriptures. I want you to see this. Who being the brightness of his glory whatever God's glory is, his last revelation, he is the brightness of, notice, the Father's glory. And then it says the express image of his person. You know we got to deal with that. Since all men are created in the image of God, what is the big deal, or what do you mean by the express image of his person? Well, you just think about it a little bit, and how did Jesus tell Philip, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father? And it says, and listen to this one. This is the one that's quite amazing. This is what I asked that cultic guy. Is your God able to uphold everything in the world by the word of his power? And it says, this person, Jesus, is the heir of all things. He acts like the heir, and notice, he upholds all things by the word of his power. And then, when he had by himself, not with someone else, purged our sin, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. The first man to ever go into heaven. The first man to be able to sit down by God the Father. This revelation of who Jesus the Christ is, it takes you back to let you see that there was a time when we talked about him, when they got little bits and pieces and visions of him. But now the Bible is saying the time came that God allowed you all to see who he was and to know who he was. And the last little scripture I'm going to read is, this is not that long. Everything that was written about him before is now revealed in him being the last revelation. When we look at the Bible in 1 Peter 1 and 10, the salvation that came, the power of God, the horn of God, being raised from the dead to give us an inheritance, the Bible says, of which salvation, 1 Peter 1 and 10, the prophets have inquired and search diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. You want to talk about God's grace? Searching what? Of what manner of time? That the Spirit of Christ which was in them. In them, various time and diverse manners, the Spirit of Christ that was in them did signify, did make known, when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should be revealed. Did you get that? The last revelation, even they testified that there was going to be a salvation, but that salvation talked about some suffering and some glory that would follow. Unto whom it was revealed, that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things to the fathers. When we read the scriptures to us. And the writer Peter said, they are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. Paul calls it in many places a mystery. But when you want to talk about the fullness, the brightness, and the purging of the sins, this gets us ready to see the purging of the sins, the sufferings, and all of these things that are talked about. The prophets talked about it, and Jesus talked about it. One time Jesus talked about it, Peter said, be that far from you, Lord! Be that far from you! But that means the prophets would have lied. The Spirit of Christ in them would have been wrong. And since Jesus is the revelation of God, if I'm the revelation, the last revelation, it's got to be. It must needs be. And the writer of Hebrews says it. Well, that's where we're going to stop right here. But you want to let somebody else be your God. Let somebody else bring a God to you. Let that person show you. And see if that person can convince you that all the prophets in all those different epochs and all the signs and things that they did was talking about them. And then let that person go and show you that when Jesus was talking, he was talking about himself, and how that person gets to be God, and how that person is appointed heir, and how that person made the ages, and so on and so forth. Go through the whole book of Hebrews and see if any person can fit that, and if they can't, why serve him? And start with the man in the mirror, because often we want to serve ourselves. I'm going to stop here and just thank God for what he has done and what he has given us through his son, and that we will honor him the way that we should, since Jesus said in John 5 that we are supposed to honor him as we do the Father. And then we'll go into discussion. Merciful, gracious Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for your strength. I thank you for your power. I thank you that you have shown through many of your prophets, and especially through your son, that suffering is not for naught. That in suffering and in going through things to serve your purpose and to fulfill your will, there is an exaltation for each and every one of us. And thank you, Lord, for letting us see that the captain of our faith was made complete through suffering, lest we become discouraged and faint in our heart. Thank you for the last revelation. Such a perfect revelation. And that you allow us by your spirit and by his spirit to enter into that. That we, in a minute way, can reflect your son, and that we, walking in your word and your spirit, being joint heirs, could be a revelation of who you are. A light to the world, a city set on a hill, the bread of God, the salt for the earth, a living tabernacle, a royal priesthood, those that have followed the first begotten from the dead, a group of immortal people that glorify you as we honor your son and we reflect the revelation that you have given to mankind of who you are. Help us not to forget the position that you've placed us in by sending your son. Amen. Amen. And even so, amen.